This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi wahdahu wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dahu wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillah, brothers, sisters, share with you a few words in the build-up to the month of Ramadan. I hope by the end of it you will see the relevance of the topic, and I hope you will be left with some empowering practical points to go home with and to share with your family. The human being, any individual, in the life of this world without iman, faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's much like a feather that is tossed about on a windy day. No idea on what side it's going to fall, on what plane of land it will rest upon. Not moving with any goal or direction in mind. Moving when the breeze carries it, and settling when the breeze settles. This really is the example of a human being without iman, though they may impress you in the suits or expensive clothes that they wear, the expensive cars that they may drive, and the high-rise buildings that they may live in. And though they may project a beautiful smile outwardly, and confidence that they brim with supposedly, but rest assured, behind closed doors, that person without iman is suffering. That person without iman is aimless, goalless, and is experiencing a chronic state of sadness and misery. If this is the case of individuals without iman, then the situation for communities and societies without iman is even more dire and worrying. Effectively becoming communities of wild beasts, a wilderness of savages, though they may be dressed in elegant suits, and though they may speak in a posh language or accent, but that the reality of that society is hollowness, is something that is shallow, is something that is empty, because they are missing iman. Thus you see, it is a survival of the fittest. And thus you see the poor being trampled upon and disregarded in the hierarchies of society. And of all of the progress and technological advancement that they may flaunt and speak highly of, the reality is that all of this technology becomes the cause of their self-annihilation and the destruction of others, through endless world wars, through endless nuclear offensive, through endless aerial assaults and bombardment, as we have seen happening here in Europe and inflicted upon us there in Gaza and elsewhere in the world. With the ugly head of racism constantly re-emerging, values that are always shifting and changing, there are no constants. New ideas and isms only depressing the people. This is the situation of an individual and the situation of a community when iman is absent. Therefore, I always salute and I congratulate the organizer of any event whenever he or she chooses to occasionally reintroduce this topic of iman from time to time. Especially as we draw nearer to the month of Ramadan, which is the month of iman. The month of Ramadan, what will take center stage in your life is the Quran. And when you open the Quran in Ramadan, you will find what takes center stage in the Quran is a discussion on iman. Rather, it is not an exaggeration to say that the Quran in its entirety, from Al-Fatiha, chapter 1, to An-Nas, the final chapter, is an exploration, an investigation, a discussion on the theme of iman. Think about it. The Quran is either speaking about Allah Almighty, describing his names and his attributes. He is the focus of our iman. Or either the Quran is speaking about the qualities of the righteous people like yourselves, the people of iman. Or either the Quran is exploring and detailing the characteristics of the evil ones, those who lacked iman. Or the Quran is speaking about a vivid portrayal of Jannah, the home of iman. Or the Quran is giving a terrifying description of Jahannam, the hellfire, which is the home of those who lacked iman. Rather, we can say that the reason behind existence, why Allah Almighty raised the heavens, why Allah Almighty leveled the land, why Allah Almighty sent prophets and messengers, why Allah Almighty revealed the books, why Allah Almighty established hellfire and paradise, was for the purpose of Allah Almighty being recognized, singled out in worship, or we can say between brackets, for the purpose of iman. So when we address this topic for a few minutes in an evening of hours here in Manchester or any other part of the world, we are talking about the matter of all matters. We are discussing the objective of all objectives, and that is iman. Iman. What is iman? Let us come into a linguistic entry here. From an Arabic perspective, the word iman, it means at-tasdiqu, which means to attest to the truth of something. As Allah Almighty said in the Quran, وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُؤْمِنٍ لَنَا يعني بِمُصَدِّقٍ لَنَا وَلَوْ كُنَّ خَاطِئِينَ. Iman, it means to attest to the truth of something. I am a mu'min in this, it means I attest to the truth of it. There is, however, a second linguistic meaning connected to the word iman that is often overlooked, and that is the word amn, which means security, peace. The origins of the word iman comes from three letters, alif and mim and noon, amina. And from that source, you can derive the word iman, which we can translate as faith. And from it, you can also derive another word, amn, security. Therefore, our iman, our belief in Allah Almighty, is a faith that leads to security. It is a faith that delivers peace. What type of security? Security from the shubuhat, the doubts in your life that may rock your faith from time to time. Security from the shahawat, acting upon the impermissible desires. Security from that. Security from crumbling when a calamity happens in your life. Security when you're anxious about an uncertain future. Security when you are 6 feet under in the grave, in the presence of angels. Security on the day of cramming, the day of reckoning, the day of judgment. And security when Allah gives you the home of security, and that is Jannah. Iman, a faith, a belief that leads to security. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ. Allah said, those who have iman, and they don't mix this iman with disbelief, for them will be the security. Those are the two meanings captured in one ayah. Therefore, when we speak about this topic, we are talking essentially about the fuel that energizes the limbs to glorify Allah Almighty, to act upon His obedience with excitement, to relinquish sins once and for all with courage and patience. That is iman, the ultimate generator of energy and enthusiasm to worship Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is all sourced from iman. Iman is that glow of light which, when it dawns upon the human heart, it gives rise to utmost confidence in Allah, warmth in the companionship of Allah, optimism in the promise of Allah, hope in the words of Allah, belief in the promises of Allah, peace and bliss in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, iman is the unobservable, the invisible secret to happiness which humanity has always been looking for. Why do I say this? I will give you five answers. Try to take note of them if you can. That is because iman, number one, has a flavor. And that is why Muslim narrates on the authority of Al-Abbas that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ذَاقَ طَعْمَ الْإِيمَانِ مَنْ رَضِيَ بِاللَّهِ رَبًّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam رَسُولًا. Whoever is satisfied with Allah as his Lord and the Prophet Muhammad as his messenger and with Islam as his religion will taste the flavor of Iman. We ask Allah Almighty to enable us to taste the flavor of Iman. Ya Rabbal Alameen. What is the flavor? What is the nature of it? You will ask in another hadith which Bukhari and Muslim narrate on the authority of Anas, that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ثَلَاثٌ مَنْ كُنَّ فِيهِ وَجَدَ بِهِنَّ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ. There are three characteristics. Whoever attains them will taste the sweetness of Iman, Ya Rabb. What are they? Number one, أَنْ يَكُونَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِمَّا سِوَهُمَا. For Allah and His Messenger to become dearer to you than anything else in life. That's condition number one. Number two, وَأَنْ يُحِبَّ الْمَرْأَ لَا يُحِبُّهُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ. To love another Muslim purely for the sake of Allah. Condition number three, وَأَنْ يَكْرَهَ أَنْ يَعُودَ فِي الْكُفْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ أَنْقَذَهُ اللَّهُ مِنْهُ كَمَا يَكْرَهُ أَنْ يُقْذَفَ فِي النَّارِ. To hate to return to disbelief after Allah had saved you from it, the same way you would hate to be thrown into a fire. Iman is therefore the unobservable secret to happiness because Iman has a flavor. Iman has a sweetness. Number two, Iman emits a light. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a profound narration, which At-Tabarani narrates on the authority of Ali, he said, مَا مِنَ الْقُلُوبِ قَلْبٌ إِلَّا وَلَهُ سَحَابَةٌ كَسَحَابَةِ الْقَمَرِ. بين القمر مضيء إذ علته سحابة فأظلم إذ انكشفت عنه فأضاء. He said, every human heart has a cloud that passes over it, the same way clouds pass over the moon. He said, clouds pass over the moon and therefore its light is diminished. But then when those clouds disappear, the light is radiant again. The meaning of the hadith is the same way that clouds diminish from the light of the moon, the clouds of sin will diminish from the light of Iman. But the same way that clouds, when they move, light is restored, when you apologize to Allah and you make peace with Him, the cloud is removed and the light of Iman reaches your heart again. Iman therefore has a flavor, and Iman emits a light. And Iman, take note of number three, is the ultimate generator of true change for those who say, I've had enough of living an average life. I have seen too much happening there in Gaza, in Palestine, or other parts of the world. It's time for me now to move from the sidelines and to become a mover and shaker. I want to do more than just a 9 till 5. I say to you, Iman is the ultimate generator of change. Change in what? Change in everything. Change in life ambitions. Change in priorities. Change in how you see the world, such that two people may see the same thing, but they interpret it in completely different ways because one has Iman and the other one is lacking in Iman. An example of this is found in Surah Al-Kahf. You recite this every single Friday, where Allah Almighty, He spoke about the youth of the cave who escaped their community. Allah Almighty said, وَإِذِ اعْتَزَلْتُمُوهُمْ وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ فَأْوُوا إِلَى الْكَهْفِ يَنْشُرْ لَكُمْ رَبُّكُمْ مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ وَيُهَيِّئْ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَمْرِكُمْ مِرْفَقًا. Subhanallah. The youth of the cave advised one another, our community, they are disbelieving in Allah Almighty. So let's leave our homes and make our way to a cave. We worship Allah Almighty there. Allah Almighty will give us from His mercy and He will ease our matters. How did they pull that off? What was it that changed their perceptions? It was Iman. Their cozy homes and their comfortable beds and the warmth of their families, all of that now represented hell on earth and discomfort. Why? Because they can't worship Allah there. And a small and dingy and dark gap in a mountain we call a cave, that was like paradise for them. Why? Because they could worship Allah Almighty there. What was it that brought about this change in perception? It was their Iman. Iman doesn't just generate a change in perceptions. Iman generates a change in your physical appearance. You've seen them, the people of Iman in your life. Maybe it's your mom, your dad, maybe it's an uncle, a friend, a local sheikh, a sister of yours, my sister. You've seen her. Her face does not resemble anybody else's. Why? Because they are brimming with Iman. Iman generates a physical change in people. And for those who are unsure, ask Abdullah ibn Salam, a former Jewish rabbi at the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he was there in Medina waiting for the last prophet to emerge as was prophesied in their Old Testament. And now the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is arriving from Mecca, making his way into Medina, and all of the Medinan community have rushed out to greet him and bring him into their city. He said, I was one of those who went out to investigate his face, to see is he truly a messenger of God Almighty as he claims to be. Abdullah ibn Salam, he said, فَلَمَّا استبنتُ وجه رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عرفت أن وجهه ليس بوجه كذاب. He said, when I glared into the face of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, I knew that was not the face of a liar. Why? Because he was looking at a face of Iman. Another face that changed because of Iman was the face of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh. You know Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a man whose journey with Iman transformed him from a simple tribal leader there in Yathrib to becoming a saint, an ally of Allah Almighty, whom when he would die, the throne of Allah Almighty would shake. La ilaha illallah. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh's face changed as he was becoming Muslim. In Medina, Mus'ab ibn Umair and As'ad ibn Zurara were inviting people to Islam. They were laying the foundation of religion before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam had arrived into the city of Medina. And they were moving around, communicating with the movers and shakers, planting the seeds of religion, when all of a sudden, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, the hero we're speaking about, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh arrives from the distance, carrying his spear, intending evil, with rage in his eyes, spewing insults at them. You Muslimics, you're coming to our country and you're spreading these foreign ideas here. What is this? That is essentially what he was saying. And he stood in front of them. As'ad ibn Zurara whispered into the ear of Mus'ab ibn Umair. He said, Mus'ab, that's Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, the leader of his tribe, Abd al-Ash'al. If he becomes a Muslim, many people will convert because they follow this man. Sa'd ibn Mu'adh arrives and he is shouting and he is cussing them. What brings you to a land spreading these foreign ideas? Mus'ab ibn Umair gently says to him, Ya Sa'd, would you just listen, hear us out? If you like what we say, perhaps you will accept it. If not, we promise you to leave. So he thrusted his spear into the ground. Speak! And Mus'ab ibn Umair began presenting Islam. The oneness of Allah, the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he recited Quran upon him. Listen to the next sentence. This is why I've shared with you this narration. He said, the narrator, فَعَرَفْنَا وَاللَّهِ الإسلام في وجهه من قبل أن يتكلم لإشراقه وتسهله. He said, by Allah, we saw Islam in the face of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh as Mus'ab was speaking. We saw Islam appearing on his face even when Mus'ab was still speaking, because of how the face of Sa'd was radiating and how ease settled upon him. When Mus'ab finished, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, he said to him, كَيْفَ تَصْنَعُونَ إِذَا أَنْتُمْ دَخَلْتُمْ فِي هَذَا الدِّينِ. What do you do if a person wanted to be part of this religion? He said to him, you bathe, you clean your clothes, you utter the declaration of faith, and you pray two units of prayer. He said, I'd like to do that. He took his shahada, and he prayed two units of salah next to Usayd ibn Hudayr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And then he made his way back to his community. Listen to the words of the narrator. They said, As Sa'd ibn Mu'adh returned back to his community of Abd al-Ashhal, they announced, نَحْلِفُ بِاللَّهِ لَقَدْ رَجَعَ إِلَيْكُمْ سَعْدُ بْنُ مُعَاذٍ بِغَيْرِ الْوَجْهِ الَّذِي خَرَجَ بِهِ مِنْ عِنْدِكُمْ. We swear by Allah Almighty, that's not the face of Sa'd ibn Mu'adh that we know. This is a different face from the one he left with. This is, of course, now the face of Iman. Then Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, he gathered his community of Abd al-Ashhal. He said to them, quick question for you, Ya Abdi Bani al-Ashhal. Oh, Ya Bani Abd al-Ashhal. كَيْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ أَمْرِي فِيكُمْ. Who am I in your eyes? What is my status in your eyes? They said to him, سَيِّدُونَا وَأَوْصَلُونَا وَأَفْضَلُونَا رَأْيًا وَأَيْمَنُونَا نَقِيبَةً. You are our leader. You are the most generous. You are the one who connects family ties the most. You are our overseer. You're everything. He said to them, good. فَإِنَّ كَلَامَ رِجَالِكُمْ وَنِسَائِكُمْ عَلَيَّ حَرَامٌ حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. I'd like you all to know, now that you've confessed that I am your leader, your men and women are forbidden from ever speaking to me again till they accept Allah as their Lord and Muhammad as their Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The narrator said, by the end of that evening, every male and female from the tribe of Abd al-Ashhal in Medina had embraced Islam. Iman has a flavor. Iman emits a light. Iman is the ultimate generator of change. Iman, take note of number 4, awakens confidence and bravery even in the face of death. And if there's anything that our ummah requires today, they are nukhab, elite men and women who are willing to sacrifice to utter the statement of truth. Iman awakens an ability to be confident and brave even in the face of terror, fear, and pain. For those unsure, consult Surah Taha and Surah Shu'ara, and our Shaykh Adil recited some of those verses for us in the beginning. Those magicians at the time of the Pharaoh who were siding with the world's greatest kafir and tyrant that humanity has ever known, and they were challenging Allah and standing in opposition of his messenger Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, using sorcery magic as their tools of disbelief. And they were saying, بِعِزَّةِ فِرْعَوْنَ إِنَّا لَنَحْنُ الْغَالِبُونَ. We swear by the glory of the Pharaoh, we will be victorious today. Such was their arrogance and pride and disbelief. But then when they saw that the stick of Musa alayhi salam had changed into a real life snake, this was not magic, the flame of Iman ignited within them. And confidence and bravery was awakened. And they said there and then, آمنا برب العالمين رب موسى وهارون. We believe in Allah, the Lord of the worlds, the Lord of Musa and Harun. They knew that statement was going to cost them their lives. Didn't matter. The Pharaoh was humiliated in front of this public gathering. And he said to them, this will cost you your lives. He said to them, I will dismember you. He said to them, you will be crucified. What did they say? La dayr, doesn't matter anymore. It's too late, Iman is inside of us now. La dayr, it doesn't matter. And they said to the Pharaoh, and I will recite and I will translate. They said to him, فَقْضِ مَا أَنْتَ قَاضٍ. Decide what you're going to decide. إِنَّمَا تَقْضِي هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Because you're only able to decide matters of this worldly life. إِنَّا آمَنَّا بِرَبِّنَا. We have now believed in our Lord. لِيَغْفِرَ لَنَا خَطَايَانَا. Hoping that he will forgive our sins. وَمَا أَكْرَهْتَنَا عَلَيْهِ مِنَ السِّحْرِ. And hoping he will forgive us for the magic that you forced us to do. وَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ وَأَبْقَى. And Allah is better and far more enduring. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَأْتِ رَبَّهُ مُجْرِمًا. Because whoever meets Allah as a criminal, فَإِنَّ لَهُ جَهَنَّمْ. Allah will place them in hell. لَا يَمُوتُ فِيهَا وَلَا يَحْيَى. Wherein he will never die, nor will they live. وَمَنْ يَأْتِهِ مُؤْمِنًا. But whoever meets Allah as a believer, قَدْ عَمِلَ الصَّالِحَاتِ. Having done good in their life. فَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الدَّرَجَاتُ الْعُلَىٰ. For them will be the high grades in Jannah. جنات عدن يدخلونها جنات عدن تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها gardens of perpetual residence beneath which rivers flow وذلك جزاء من تزكى and that is the reward of those who purify themselves لا إله إلا الله. Were these the words of a prophet? No. Were these the words of a scholar? No. Were these the words of a trained Muslim? No. These were the words of new Muslims who had just embraced Islam 30 or 60 seconds ago. Where did this come from? This confidence, this bravery. They were previously tyrants, siding with tyrants, and now they are martyrs journeying to Allah Almighty. What changed this? It is Iman that brought this confidence and this bravery even in the face of death. Finally, I leave you with the fifth heading and I say to you, Iman delivers happiness. Why is this the case? Because the human heart has voids within it. The human heart has gaps, compartments. And each and every one of those compartments requires its fill in order for you and I to live a happy, upright and wholesome life. There is a compartment that needs to be filled with food. There is a compartment that has the need for drink and shelter, security. There is a compartment that needs companionship, relationships, intimacy. All of them are required. But there is another void, another compartment that's far deeper, that can only be filled with the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And glory to Him. And remembering Him and experience the warmth of being near Him. And should that compartment remain empty, no other compartment will matter. And I translate to you the beautiful words of Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, who said in his book Madarij al-Salikin, explaining this meaning, listen carefully. He said, فَفِي الْقَلْبِ شَعَاثٌ لَا يَلُمُّهُ إِلَّا الْإِقْبَالُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. In the human heart, there is a sense of scattering that can only be brought together by turning to Allah. وَفِيهِ وَحْشَةٌ لَا يُزِيلُهَا إِلَّا الْأُنْسُ بِاللَّهِ. And in the heart there is a sense of loneliness that can only be removed with the companionship of Allah Almighty. وَفِيهِ حُزْنٌ لَا يُذْهِبُهُ إِلَّا السُّرُورُ بِمَعْرِفَتِهِ وَصِدْقِ مُعَامَلَتِهِ. And in the heart of every human being there is a sadness that can only be dispelled with the joy of being close to Him and being true in your worship of Him. وَفِيهِ قَلَقٌ لَا يُسَكِنُهُ إِلَّا الْإِجْتِمَاعُ عَلَيْهِ وَالْفِرَارُ مِنْهُ إِلَيْهِ. And in the human heart there is a sense of anxiety that can only be settled when you turn yourself to Him and you flee from Him back to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Never forget the story of a contemporary Egyptian sheikh of ours who said that there was a very interesting story of a new Muslim, and his reason why he chose Islam was one of the strangest reasons you will come across, and that is to sleep. She said to him, what brought you to the religion, my brother? He said, to sleep, so that I can sleep. So the sheikh laughed with him and the others, they joked with him humorously, and they said, Ya sheikh, in the Arabic dialect, يعني الأمة مليانة نويمة مش ناقصنا كمان ناس نايمين. The whole ummah is sleeping. We're all sleeping still. We don't need another person to sleep in the ummah. So they joked with him and they had this banter. They said, brother, tell us your story. He said, I was a man who used to struggle chronically with sleep. I just couldn't pull it off. And I was exhausted. And one day I was looking out my balcony into Hyde Park. And I saw an Arab-looking man passing through. And in the middle of the hustle and bustle and all of the noise, he parked up next to a tree. And he put his head down onto the ground and started snoring. Despite the cars and the buses and our brothers perhaps who are debating around the corner as well. And he put his head and he slept. He said, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. So I made my way down from my flat and I woke him up. I couldn't help. I woke him up. And he was startled. He said, what happened? And the man said to him, who are you? He said, I'm a Muslim. He said, what is Muslim? He said, A and B and C, and he explained to him what it is to be a Muslim in his simple Arab way. He said to him, if I am a Muslim like you, do you think I'll be able to sleep as well? He said, yeah, you will be able to sleep. He was complaining, I'm taking all sorts of medical interventions, heroin at times, and I can't even get 2 hours of uninterrupted sleep. If I become a Muslim like you, will I be able to sleep? He said, yeah, perhaps. I think you will. He said, I want to be a Muslim so that I can sleep like you. He said, brother, come with me. And they went to the local Islamic center near Hyde Park. They spoke with the Imam, the Sheikh, and he introduced their religion to him. And alhamdulillah, he took his shahada and he became a Muslim. Later that evening, their brothers were still around him, supporting him. And now it's time to what? Time to sleep. He said to them, I'm so nervous. They said, no, listen, you need to sleep on your right hand side and do your wudu, your pre-prayer washing, and say the certain adhkar, the prayers before going to sleep, you will sleep. He did that. And within moments, he was not snoring. Deep sleep. Then came the time for Salatul Fajr, the dawn prayer. So they woke him up and he said, no, what are you doing? I can't believe that I'm sleeping. Leave me alone. I can't believe that this is happening. I want to sleep more. They said to him, brother, you will sleep. But now is the time for prayer. For these reasons, my brothers, my sisters, what reasons? The reasons that I shared with you, that because Iman has a flavor and Iman has a light and Iman generates change and the Iman awakens confidence and bravery and Iman is what delivers bliss. For these 5 reasons that I shared with you is why those who have tasted Iman, even for a moment in his or her life, then they lose it. They will spend the rest of their lives pursuing it till they get it again, because it is an irresistible experience. And that is why Heraclius, the emperor of Byzantine Rome, when he was interrogating Abu Sufyan about this man in the Arabian Peninsula who was claiming to be a prophet, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he asked him several questions to see whether he truly was a prophet from God Almighty. One of the questions he asked him was, أَيَرْتَدُّ أَحَدٌ مِّنْهُمْ سَخْطَةً لِدِينِهِ بَعْدَ إِذْ يَدْخُلَ فِيهِ أَيَرْتَدُّ أَحَدٌ مِّنْهُمْ سَخْطَةً لِدِينِهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ أَنْ يَدْخُلَ فِيهِ. He said, does any one of the companions of this alleged prophet leave the religion after they embrace it? And what did Abu Sufyan say? He wasn't a Muslim, but he was honest. He said, no. All of the people who became Muslim with him, they stay Muslims. What did Heraclius then say? A Christian, but they know. He said, وَكَذَلِكَ الْإِيمَانُ حِينَ تُخَالِطُ بَشَاشَتُهُ الْقُلُوبَ لَا يَسْخَطُهُ أَبَدًا. He said, and that is the reality of Iman, faith. When its delight mixes with the heart, it binds it forever. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to restore the Iman in our light, in our life. And as for the question about how do we find Iman, how do we restore Iman, if I was a person who had Iman, but I am now struggling with my Iman, what are the methods and the techniques to restore it? This is, inshallah, a discussion for another evening, but for now, we will say, وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.